Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And for more on that, let's go from one king to the next.
It's Lord, never.
Well, not exactly.
For the Sixers.
Well, they could win tonight and then lose game seven.
Right, but it's also, it could be never tonight.
Well, then it's possibly or never.
Well, it's now, and then it's now or never again.
That's
multiple
right.
Now or never.
Right. All right, let's talk to the King, Howard Eskin, who, of course, joins us every single Thursday at this time. King, good morning, sir.
Good morning. A king tomorrow to be also a doctor. So it's a good day.
Good for
it's
you, good my man. All right, so Howard, there's a
Are
lot
you
of
going to hold people to that because yeah. Sometimes people say, "Sorry, Dr. Eskin."
No, a King PhD is going to be the
really?
Moniker.
Well, let me just say this, Howard, in honor of Martin Luther King, I sure as hell ain't calling you Dr. King. All right?
Well, no, I wouldn't want to be called Dr.
Okay,
King.
Okay, good. All right.
For that thing. Hey, Joe. By the
yes,
way,
sir.
A very, very, very astute comment by you just seconds ago.
What?
Either team could win tonight.
That's right.
And I have not heard anything so prophetic as that.
Well, I think profound would
profound.
Be the better
yeah,
word. But
word.
So you want to go prophetic? That's fine. You're right. All right, Howard. Let's start with the ticket reality. You've been all over this the last couple of days. Tell us what you know to be facts related to this storyline. How the Sixers put stuff out there. Josh Harris has changed yesterday. What do you know about this storyline?
All right. Well, what really? And I don't want to take away anything from James and Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
However, they were embarrassed when I put out a tweet, and I didn't realize it until late yesterday. There was a story in the New York Post using my tweet.
Wow!
Those tickets that the Knicks fans, a lot of them, not all of them, that the Knicks fans bought, were put out there by the Sixers. The Sixers, and I checked this with brokers, because you can tell which tickets come out of the team on their ticket site, the Ticketmaster ticket site. See, they don't sell tickets in a ticket office anymore. When you're complaining about fees, the Sixers are making money not only off the tickets,
the fees, yeah.
They're making money off the fees because they put them out there. The Sixers put out thousands of tickets, knowing at the exorbitant prices they put them out there that they were going to be bought by Knicks fans. So it's the Sixers that put the tickets out there and not the fans. So it's wrong to blame the fans that may sell their tickets, and there's some, because they get killed on these ticket prices. But the other thing that is a misnomer, when the Sixers tell you that they bought the tickets, how do you buy tickets you already own? They already own those tickets. So they're not buying anything.
So you're saying
they
didn't release them is what you're saying.
Right. Well, they just didn't sell them.
It's semantics.
They didn't put them on the ticket site. They already own the ticket. They're not buying anything. So, and they got embarrassed. They got embarrassed by what got out there. And, I just started thinking after the game on Sunday night where Joel was complaining and everybody was complaining. I said, wait a minute. I know they're putting out the tickets. So I checked with a couple of people, and then you can tell which tickets are coming out of the Sixers. And I said, how many? A thousand? He said, no, thousands of tickets are put out there by the Sixers. And when they increase the price from what the face price in the playoffs, which is ridiculous anyway, they increase it. They knew that the Knicks fans would be the ones that were buying those tickets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for all this patting on the Sixers' back and all they bought, that they didn't buy anything. They just didn't put out the tickets that they already own. So that's really, I mean, the whole situation.
Well, at least this time
they
didn't sell the tickets.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
right. Okay. So
it's
they didn't,
positive
they didn't
progress.
Them.
Yeah,
well, it is a positive. Hey, Howard, let's talk about
they got embarrassed.
Yeah.
They got embarrassed.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. And but they have taken some action by not selling the tickets this time.
Oh, hey, they're billionaires. Come on.
No, I hear you.
I got you. I got you. How much better shape is Joel in now than he was at the start of the preseason, Howard?
You know what? I don't think he's in any better shape. But let me address one more thing, too, John. When and we know it. Eagles fans take over stadiums every game.
Yeah, a lot. Yep.
Do we ever hear the other teams or the other players complain about those fans taking over a stadium? You just go out and play the game. You know, you can't.
I don't usually
worry
listen
about
to those other players talk.
Yeah, I don't. I don't live in San Diego. Like when it happened in 2017,
well, it's
also a playoff
it.
Game as opposed to regular season games, which the Eagles usually take over, which is a bigger deal.
They take over playoff games too. I mean, Eagles fans take over. So they don't complain. It's reality of what the world is when you have a big fan base. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is.
Well, that is right.
As far as Joel, I don't think he's any better. You look at history, he's not a playoff player. And that's why I said a week ago, I mean, I think Maxey is not the most talented. I think he's the best player on this team. Doesn't worry about any of that stuff. He goes out there. He listens to the coach. He plays for his teammates. He does everything he could possibly do. I love Tyrese Maxey.
So has this become Tyrese has to lead us to the promised land now?
I think without Tyrese, they don't win. He is the guy. He doesn't complain about anything. He doesn't give me a woe is me. He doesn't talk about, this and I've got this. None of that. He goes out there and just plays. And that's what you want. That's what the great players do. And I know he's not the most talented, but he is the best guy on this team.
Hey, Howard.
He just goes out there and does it.
Howard, who do you trust to be the third best player tonight for the Sixers? You got Batum, you got Tobias, you got Lowry and Oubre. Which one would you pick as third guy tonight?
They don't have that guy.
You didn't mention Buddy Hield.
No, I didn't.
Where is Buddy Hield, Howard?
He's putting the fear of God into the other team, but he's doing it from the bench now.
Howard, should they not even play Paul Reed even the 4 minutes? Is the time to be done with zero second? No more. No more, right?
For what?
Paul Reed. Enough, right?
Yeah, I just people liked him. And, you know, here's the other thing that happened. Remember Danny Ainge, and Danny Ainge was smart. He signed him to that the offer sheet or whatever the heck it was, and the Sixers knew that they were going to keep him. But Daryl Morey thought, well, nobody's going to go out and give him a contract. So now not only did he give him a contract, he gave him a big contract because he had to match the offer of Utah. It's just no more Paul Reed. That's why you notice the bench got real short the other minutes. And the Knicks did the same thing.
D'Anthony Melton, is he going to play more? Do we need more D'Anthony Melton? Will that help?
How do you bring him in a game like this? This is really, I mean, again, I think all the games are going to be tight, and they have been. I don't think you can all of a sudden just kind of work in a player.
Look, if he's capable, I'm playing him. Because I have like no one else I can trust.
I know. Well,
I have to play him.
That's exactly right. It's kind of interesting when you look at this team. It's just they're really doing it with two players. Every once in a while, another guy jumps in.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to succeed with two players, and it's going to be another tough game. And I don't think the Knicks. Hey, the Sixers didn't worry about blowing a game. Because they came out and they won the next game.
Sure.
And I don't think the Knicks are going to do that either. The one thing the Knicks do is they play hard.
They do.
Every minute, every second of a game. Now, are they're limited with their talent too, but the reality is, playing hard really you know, accomplishes a lot. And that's what the Knicks do. And the Sixers have to do that tonight. They have to do it. I mean, it's disappointing for Sixers fans. It's the 9 o'clock game. It's just, but the NBA doesn't care. All they care about is TV.
Yeah, make
them. The whole thing's all about money. Yep. Tickets are about money. TV's about money. And it's not a fans game anymore, but it's the reality of what sports has become. And it's kind of sad.
All right, Ken. Ken, good having you on, my man. We'll talk next week. We'll see if the Sixers are still going. Thanks, buddy.
And just remember, bye. King PhD.
Okay, get out of here. Howard asked.
Thanks, Howard.
Could you imagine if he tried to go by Dr. King?
That would be terrible.
Could you imagine that? I just wanted to make sure we shut that one down before he goes any further. Not that he would have. I'm just saying that would be absurd. All right, Phil's got a win yesterday. We'll get to that reality. They're playing really good baseball. Also, a national commentator thinking that some bad karma exists with the Knicks these days because of Knicks fans. We'll get to that. And Howie Roseman, is he overrated? Well, I don't think he is. But one national person thinks on one particular aspect of his existence, he's very overrated. That and more. All the calls on a big day, game six tonight. Joe DeCameron, John Rich on WIP.
Here's what's happening at Borgata. Don't miss out on the action at Borgata's Poker Room. We're great cards, lucky seats, and high hands. Bring excitement to every player, open 7 days a week. Excitement is waiting, and you are only miles away from your happy place. Experience award-winning restaurants, exciting bars.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, it's a really big day. Really big day. These are the kind of days as a sports fan, you know, the blood coursing through your veins with excitement, but also with a certain degree of apprehension. I mean, we could be really excited going to bed tonight or more down.
You're
I mean,
not really if,
we might not
at all.
Sleep tonight. Yeah.
Well,
for
yeah.
us. I mean, if they win, it's
what
thrilling.
It
I probably won't. Sleep much.
Well, I got to drive to Borgata after the game.
Oh, fun.
So I get down there at like 1 or 1:30, depending on the traffic.
Okay,
so,
there you go. So, little wind down time on the drive, I
That's
guess.
All right. Listen, big game tonight, obviously. You know, we're asking a lot of questions, including just primarily how do you feel about this thing tonight? You know, what's going through your mind? Also, you know, third player, who steps up? I do think this thing still primarily comes down to Joel. Obviously, Maxi saved their bacon the other day. But I don't expect, and as much as I love Maxi, I don't expect that regularly. I expect him to be pretty darn good regularly. But, like, that was all world. That was superhuman.
That's too much to ask.
Exactly. So, you know, you want to see more from Joel. Then, of course, you get into the conversation. Well, can he give you more or can he not give you more? And that's been a controversial topic.
I believe he can.
I know you do.
If he gets his mind. Right.
I know you do. And I believe he can.
His body can be so much better with just the simple, like, believe that your body is better.
Well, look, it's a fascinating situation. So we'll see tonight. Also, Phils, let's not lose sight of them, as they did a great job, again, with another series out west. And they're just kicking butt. I mean, they are. You know, Zach Wheeler yesterday obviously didn't have his best stuff. He didn't go deep in the game. His pitch count was over 100, you know, a few pitches into the sixth inning. But the reality is they scored, you know, just enough. And Wheeler in the bullpen held down the
Bullpen gives you four innings and no earned runs, just one walk.
Nice work.
You know, previously the problem was that our relievers would get out there and throw balls, and that walk people, and therein begins the
Do you remember how the
traipse around the bases.
Remember Alvarado about 3 years ago, whatever his first year was.
He got sent down?
Correct.
Yep. When he was sent down.
Couldn't trust him to throw a strike.
Oh.
Yep.
Couldn't trust him to throw a strike.
And he's been arguably the best reliever in baseball since coming back. Three or four.
He's been their best reliever. I mean, I hate to say Papelbon. Maybe Papelbon. Maybe back to Brad Lidge. I mean, since then. Like he's
Madsen, Lidge. That
yeah.
Time.
I mean, he's been phenomenal. All right, and obviously the Eagles also on the table. We'll get to some comments on Howie maybe a little overrated. We'll get to that shortly.
The 18 strikeouts yesterday is crazy, realizing that's the first time since at least 1901 that a Phillies team's won a 9-inning game while striking out 18 times.
Look at Richie pulling out an Elias sports.
Oh, yeah, it's a good factor right
guy.
There.
Look at this guy.
Golden sombrero for Castellanos yesterday. Yeah, had a nice stretch until then. Yeah,
it happens sometimes. That. Hey, life advice with the hammer coming up in about an hour, around 9:15 today. You ask. And I'll answer a scenario, whatever you're dealing with in life. So you tell me what's going on. Actually, tell Seltzer. He'll pick it. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line, three ways you can put that situation in front of us. One other thing I'll say. Speaking of advice, I'll give you some early advice here today. Early advice to everyone through the Delaware Valley. This year, more than ever, really, really, let's prop up the graduates that are about to graduate in the next couple weeks. So Penn State's got their – I know there's thousands of people listening right now. They're going to be headed out to State College for their graduation this week. They've got an early graduation. That's when they typically graduate, but earlier than most schools. And let's remember this. These seniors are the seniors that did not have a graduation during the pandemic. Like, this is the group. So they did not have, in 2020, a high school graduation.
Which is terrible.
Which is rough.
Yeah. Right,
so this is their moment. So really, you know, pump up that crew this year when they graduate.
Extra special this year.
It is extra special. Yeah. It really is. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mark in Delaware right now. Mark, big day. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Mark?
Great show as always. So, hey, Joe, I just want to go back on your bell ringer theory for tonight.
Which theory was it? Oh, bell ringer. Yeah, Tyrese Maxey. Yeah.
Yeah. So, actually, what would be really cool if the 76ers stole from the Eagles the Adrian start? And they bring out Sly Stallone to ring the bell.
Well, listen, I like that for like the NBA Finals, you know, like so
you know Sly was up there at the grand opening.
Well,
of
that's
the link.
The problem.
It's a huge.
It didn't go
pass.
Well.
It's sort of like putting something on Billy Penn. They you know the city was 0-1 when Billy Penn wore the Phillies hat in '93, and it's like let's put a Flyers sweater on him in 97. So that's 0-2. So that's the problem with the Stallone thing. Do you bring him back after it's an 0-1? I don't know. Look, Mark.
It was magnificent when he was up there.
Before
Jumbotron,
the
wearing the Deuce Staley jersey. The smoke still in the air from all the fireworks and everything. And it's freaking rocky.
Did you know in advance, John?
No, I had no idea.
That's an amazing. That was an. And then the game started, and all hell broke.
And we
was downhill from
totally
that moment.
Sucked.
Yes.
I think the only difference is you'd have Sly beating the bell, so that would get the fans pumped up.
Well, it would. I mean, there's no doubt about that. All right, Mark, give me an answer when you think in terms of a fictional rivalry.
How about Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner Tyrese Maxey?
Yeah, no, listen, Wile E. Coyote. What is it, Wile
E. Coyote? Wile E. Coyote.
And the Roadrunner. My God.
What does the E stand for, you think?
It's a great question.
What energy.
Wile his middle name?
Energy. They both had energy. They're going at it constantly.
I love that cartoon.
It was unbelievable.
It was funny.
The violence was incredible.
The violence was insane.
Violence in cartoons was astounding. Let's go to Jason in Philadelphia. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Jason.
I got a solution for that ticket problem.
Yep.
All right, so you bring back the old 700 Club from the Vet. you throw a judge downstairs and you open a cell.
Just put all the Knicks people in there?
Hey, bring them back. Throw them a party and let them all get drunk and rowdy.
Well, you know, I will second the notion of a quick hook for a rowdy Knicks fan. I like that idea.
Yeah.
But don't overcrowd the jail, because then other people won't fit in there. My solution is just kick their butt out of the arena. Out! Get out!
Yeah, I'm with it. The old 700 Club, John will attest to that. That was rowdy. Batteries and snowballs and Santa Claus.
Wait. John will attest. You're telling me John,
never there, right?
John was in there?
I played
John never played at the vet. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I played at the vet one time, and I was a Raider.
Yeah.
What do you got on the Phillies, Jason?
I got unbelievable outing from Zach Wheeler last night.
I wouldn't call it unbelievable because he didn't go too deep in the game, but it's a quality job by him, holding a team to one run, you know, for the five and a third or something. What it was?
Well, the pitching staff's what you get excited about, because it's never been there really.
Look, their pitching staff's on fire. Give me a fictional rivalry, Jason. What do you got here?
All right, Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
And who?
Great one.
Elmer Fudd.
Oh, that's right. That's another good one. That's true. Once you get to
Wesley Wabbit.
The old cartoons.
Well done,
Ray. There you go. That was pretty good.
That was well done.
That was a good Elmer Fudd.
All right, so Nick Wright, national commentator, TV, obviously. He thinks Howie is pretty dramatically overrated when it comes to drafting John. And I hate to say it, but he makes a pretty good point. And he makes an interesting point about the way Howie drafts. Let's go to this. This happened a couple days ago, but we've done so much Sixers over the last few days, we never even got to this. He thinks Howie's drafting is an overrated reality, and the way people nationally react and here in Philadelphia react right after picks are made early in the draft. Listen to what Nick Wright said the other day.
Their GM, Howie Roseman, and maybe this is smart, tends to be his draft mimics the consensus media big boards more than any other GM, which is why every year people are like, Howie did it again, because he's doing what the media big boards would have done. Seven. He even said in his press conference after the third round pick, Jalix Hunt, that, man, I almost texted Daniel Jeremiah asking him to take him off his best available list because I didn't want someone else to draft him. I was like, Howie, I'm not sure if other GMs are really scouring Daniel Jeremiah.
It's a pretty interesting point, because Howie did say that in the press conference.
He did say it, but how do you arrive at that statement that you know that Howie is adhering more to the general consensus? Like, you know for a fact that our GM follows the...
That was my thought, too.
It's like, does he have research?
An idiotic statement. I'm sure he could have had someone look this up.
You know
this. I guarantee you could figure it out and go year by year and see, like, all right, who's closest to whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the truth lies. I mean, maybe it's true, maybe it's not.
I know that the truth is not here. This is not the truth.
Well, Nick Wright continued. Let's give him a chance here. He continued on this point.
But a lot of the picks that we have talked about, wow, this guy was the ninth player on everyone's board and he went 30th. Those didn't work out. Like, if you go back and look at it, it's like Keely Ringo, N'Kobe Dean, last year, he got Nolan Smith at 30. Howie did it again. Anybody heard from him? Jordan Davis, they got him at 12. He's been okay. Right. Like, Andre Dillard was a first-round pick that didn't work out. We know Jalen Reagor, one pick in front of Justin Jefferson. So I don't know that he's as great as we all think the day after the draft when it comes to picking the players.
I mean, I tell you, it kind of vibes
with me. He was great this year, and as much as we know about these players thus far, this draft looks like it was pretty darn good.
Well, that's
and
his
the last
that's
draft,
his that's
yeah,
Nick Wright's
I understand
point. Yeah.
That Nolan Smith does not look like
right
the
now.
Same pick yeah. that he looked like last year at this time.
Right.
He still has a chance to prove himself. My
he
gosh, he's
for
only
what
been
it's
in
worth,
the league for a year.
There was a tweet going around of Nick Wright from the draft last year. He's a Chiefs fan, Nick mm-hmm. Wright. At pick 29, he's like, wow, can't believe Nolan Smith is going to be on the board for the Chiefs. This is so exciting. Go get him. So, speaking out both sides of your mouth there.
All right. I mean, fair enough.
And frankly, I mean, it's really only been the last couple of years that people look at
great
the drafts.
Point. Like Jalen Reagor was not high on draft boards.
I mean,
boards.
Before that, we were crushing Howie on a daily basis over draft picks.
Well, yeah. So, I'm surprised, James and John, by your reaction from this standpoint. I think it's fair to say Howie's drafting is his weakest element.
Yes.
But I think every GM's weakest element is drafting, or most of them.
It's a crapshoot.
It's really hard to draft.
Absolutely. No, I think a lot of GMs are probably better at that than they are at the free
Veach
agent stuff and the, and the maneuvering.
That's
of the cap.
Possible, but I'm saying no one's great at drafting. Like, there's no one who is.
How do you know that? You think Seattle wasn't great at drafting when they built a championship team?
Every year that
Seattle built a defense through the draft, and they had those guys under contract.
But I'm saying everyone has good years and bad years.
That's true.
That's my point.
There's an inherent reality to the fact that you cannot predict the way a college player will translate to the NFL game. That's the truth of the draft.
Bill Belichick isn't coaching anymore because he couldn't draft.
Well, that's true in recent years.
Yeah,
that is
that's
true.
What I'm saying.
No, that is true. That's accurate. All right, let's go to the sledgehammer, Mark in Collegeville. Hi, Sledgy.
Joe, what's up, pal?
Quite a bit, my man. Big game tonight.
It is. Sir Richelot, how you doing?
Wow. Great, Sledgling.
So, right off the bat, gotta say, how proud are we of our boy Seltzer for dropping an epic F-bomb yesterday?
Look, I'm proud of him. He may be the reason the Sixers advanced out of the first round, that Josh Harris was like, all right, I'm going to make sure I got these 2,000 tickets and give them to Sixers fans. I really mean it. I'm not kidding. And listen, Howard probably does deserve some credit for that, the initial tweet, Elliott's tweet, and what James said yesterday. I tend to think without those three things, the Sixers would not have done what they did.
Yeah, well, that should have been something they should have done on their own to begin with.
You're right about
any
that.
Encouragement. But
you're right.
Either case, one thing I wanted to touch on, everyone seems to be getting on Joel's case about a lot of things in the players. Really, if you think about it, it's not the players that we should be getting on. It should be Daryl Morey we should be getting on for not putting the right pieces together to surround Joel and Maxey, you know, for them to do what we want them to do. That's
look, we are, but only to an extent, Sledge. Like, I agree with you, but it only goes so far. You got to remember, they've been over the salary cap and way over the cap since 2019. So that's why you get a lot of the $1 million type players. Look, the Kelly Oubre $1 million player, way above the curve. But then you get the guys that have just been bumps, and you get a bunch of them. Like, it's not easy to get quality NBA players when you're – I'm just telling you, when you're over the cap, it's not easy to get good players.
Well, yeah, and the contract that Toby has doesn't exactly help either.
Well, that's my point.
He's on up this year.
That's right. And look, the Morey thing is it's double-edged. Like, would I have liked to seen him do better on the scraps? Yes.
And remember, though, he has set aside, he has recouped picks that we can use
he did eventually.
In the future. Like, he has planned ahead to make this team better.
He has, but he's also the guy that committed about $20 million to Paul Reed, and I think that's stupid allocation of resources.
Why does Miami continue to find it? Like, they find undrafted players all the time.
You're right. But they also are way better at it than the average team. Like, they might be the best at it.
No, totally. That's what I'm saying, but Daryl Morey is generally considered this great GM, and I'm going, the Miami Heat keeps finding undrafted talent.
I agree with you. I mean, clearly Morey was overrated in his entrance in here. He's not all that. This isn't Jerry West now, all right?
No.
So, you know.
Yeah, and also, too, it's good to see the Phillies off to a lot better of a start than they've been in the past couple of years. I mean, the bats have been doing good. They've been streaky at times, but they've been doing really good lately.
They sure have. Sledge, give me an answer for a fictional rivalry.
This is a pretty good one. Seltzer and Richie would like. How about Optimus Prime and Megatron?
Does that work?
Yeah, absolutely.
Outstanding.
How you don't know any of these kind of movies.
It is impossible that you would not know Megatron.
Even I know Optimus.
Optimus Prime. It does seem impossible.
I've heard of them, but it doesn't mean anything to me.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I got absolutely nothing.
That's the kid that just didn't have anyone to play with. Like, you have admitted that you went outside and there just wasn't anyone.
Yeah, I was both teams when I would play basketball.
That's why you're good at foul shots.
Probably is, honestly. Well, we had a little hoop outside, but it was a narrow driveway, so there's no wing shots. Very limited. Let me put it this way:
are you serious?
I'm dead serious. The wing shot was
so you really did just practice foul shots.
Well, not
by yourself.
I don't call it practice
every day.
Most of the shots were straight on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just being honest.
Sure.
It is what it is.
You would get good at that.
It is what it is. All right, let's go to James and Ben Salem. Hi, James.
Hello.
What's up, James?
What's up, buddy?
Well, I was calling to talk about Tom Thibodeau.
Yep.
So the thing is it – what's that?
Is it Thibs or Tibbs?
Well, it's Tibbs when you say the
–
Why are they saying Thibodeau,
well,
then?
It might be Thibodeau when you say the whole name. It's Tibbs when you give him
why
the nickname. I don't know.
I think his name is Tom Thibodeau.
It is. The H is silent.
Thank you.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, let me ask a question. If we're going to go to this, let me ask a question. Why is the number four F-O-U-R, and when you do 40, it's F-O-R-T? Why? Where do you
that
go?
I couldn't tell you.
Where do you go? F, I got four.
I never thought about this.
F, every time I write a check, four, F-O-U-R, 40, F-O-R-T-Y. Where's the U?
The outrage that you have at certain things is just really
bizarre. But I'm not wrong.
Well done, Jeff.
You're not wrong.
Thank you. All right, James.
I think it's just a consolidation. It makes sense to make it shorter.
But then why isn't four F-O-R?
Letter.
Four.
Yeah, F-O-R. Yeah.
Or because you have less four. Letters. F-O-R. Four.
Because you already have a different four?
I'm so confused now.
Well, we got read and red.
I know.
Dude, read and red are spelled the same way.
Well, yeah, there are a few of those.
F-O-R-E.
Four. Yeah, I'm so confused. All right, James, give me a Sixers point. What do you got?
So, Tom Thibodeau has an MO of overworking his players.
Correct.
I mean, when Howard said they play really hard, he overworks them. I mean, the last time we met up with Thibodeau in the first round, I mean, Derrick Rose.
Not fair. That's not why Derrick Rose got hurt. But you're right. He has that reputation more than anybody else. But obviously the Sixers won that series because Derrick Rose got hurt and then Joakim Noah. Let's remember, they would have won that series after Rose got hurt with Noah. It wasn't until Noah turned his ankle in the game three that the whole series then changed. All right, James, give me an answer. Fictional rivalry. What do you have?
Okay, so I have Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale in The Prestige.
All right, my man. You
That's
got
a good answer.
Chance.
I got to watch that.
It's
again.
A really good movie.
I saw that so
Nolan.
Long ago.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Let's get to something here Mad Dog said. So Mad Dog, a legendary radio talk show host, now doing some work for ESPN. I'm leaning into, as best I can, anything today that can speak to the fact that maybe the Knicks will be a little off kilter and give the Sixers an edge. I mean, John, I might be grasping for straws. I admit that. But I'm going for anything I can get. And Mad Dog Russo believes and said yesterday on ESPN that the action.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Questions of Knicks fans. I mean, essentially, angered the gods. And then maybe the Knicks players, they get struck down in game 6 and 7 because the Knicks fans have, you know, been a bunch of jackasses. Listen.
These gods are basketball gods?
Yeah, like the gods.
He's angered.
Well, you know, let me put it this way. Russo's using the term bad karma. I'm using the term the gods. It's all kind of the same thing. Here's the way Russo lays it out yesterday.
The Knicks fan, who should know better, all right? After game one, we want Boston. What? Want Boston? You haven't done anything in 100 years. Now you want the Celtics? I mean, calm down. Number two, the Knicks fan who invaded Philly last week, after the game, they're out there with the little video phones putting freaking jerseys on Wilt Chamberlain, Julius Erving, and Moses Malone statues. Knicks in five, Knicks in five. What? You haven't even won a series yet. These are the New York Knicks. You're not the freaking L.A. Lakers in the 80s. That was ridiculous. That's bad karma.
I love him.
That is
he's
awesome.
My favorite of all time. I love him so much. And he's right. Who knows Knicks fans better than Mad
well,
Dog
yeah,
Russo?
Yeah, that's where he was a talk show host for many years in New York. So, look, I like it. A couple things to this. They have been jackasses. Will there be security around the Wilt statue? I'm being serious. I'm not.
Yeah.
This is not a joke.
I think there should be.
Will the 76ers put security near the statue so that a Knicks jersey can't be put on the Wilt statue?
Oh, those security people were having all kinds of meetings today. Because you
oh,
know
yeah.
There's going to be trouble down there.
There is going to be yeah. trouble. There's going to
because
be trouble.
Because they're looking. I mean, to me, what is astonishing to me, if Sixers fans had, say, invaded the Garden
yeah.
and chanting that, you know, vulgar thing.
That's right.
Every place across the country, it would have been what I haven't heard a peep from anybody.
I agree with you.
On Knicks fans.
1,000% I agree with you.
I'm
no.
like, you know.
It's very low class, which is why, you know,
Conklin
put the song. James, can you play that song one more time? I enjoyed this so much.
I did too. I laughed multiple times.
Let's listen. Because, look, they are going to invade to a certain extent, maybe to a big extent. And Conklin put this together earlier today.
Traveling south with all our peeps. Coming from New York, we're all a bunch of creeps. We're profane, we got no class. Obnoxious and dirty, plus we smell like ass. Our house, we paid money for your seats.
Our house,
yes, we're even in the suites.
Our house,
people you don't wanna meet.
Our house,
you can read our vulgar tweets.
Our house.
Creeps.
I mean, it's just.
It's really good.
It's so perfect.
It's really good, man. It really is. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494.
I love the way he says ass.
Well, that's. It's really good. Jeremy, right now. Good morning, Jeremy. Jeremy, not ready to roll. We get to edit. Let's go to Will, Northeast Philly. Hi, Will.
Voltron, finally. How y'all doing today?
What's up, Will?
All right. Let me just say this, right? I'd like to thank WIP, you dig what I'm saying, for, like, really getting the tickets for all the fans, man. Without y'all the people's voice, man. And without y'all, this wouldn't have never happened. I just want to say, James, man, hell of a what you did yesterday.
James, I think you were the ultimate difference maker. I really do.
I think
Howard had a part of this. I think Seltzer had a part of it. I think Elliot did. James, I think you were the ultimate factor.
Wow. Well, that's good. I was mortified yesterday, so I'm very appreciative of this. Thank you.
And I just want to say, I just want the Sixers, the double team, you know, put a hand in that, in Brunson's face, you know, let the rest of the players win the game. You know, and B, listen, we need you tonight, baby. And I know you got it in you. It's mind over matter, man. Let's bring this win to Philadelphia. We really need it. We need you to come through for us. And last but not least, Tobias Harris. I hope you are in the gym right now waiting to shoot their lights out, because they leaving you open, man. And we need you to come through tonight. And we need everybody to go hard to the basket, get these guys in foul trouble, just like we did in that last game, and win this game for us. And take it to game 7.
Will, I like your line of thinking. Give me a fictional rivalry. I mean, obviously, Knicks and Sixers is a rivalry. You can win the Phillies-Mets tickets. What do you got?
Hey, this game remind me of Popeye and Brutus.
Oh, that's a good one right there. That's a really good one. I mean, they battled for a long while, Popeye and Brutus.
Those old cartoons, man. They really –
Well, that's what we're finding out here is once you go cartoons, really now you're in wheelhouse territory. All right, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin offering the highest quality certified pre-owned vehicles in the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Two different poll questions. The first today, who wins tonight, Sixers or Knicks? The second, let's do a dive on this right now, where we each stand. Who is most likely to step up and be the Sixers' third best player tonight? John, who would you pick? Obviously, Embiid and Maxey, 1 and 2, in whatever order you want to put them. But then third, pretty clearly, is either Batum, Tobias, Lowry, or Oubre. Who do you, John, have the most faith in for that tonight?
Yeah, Kelly Oubre in game 5, no assists, only 4 rebounds. Almost 40 minutes with 14 points. It just feels like he's due for one of those big ones. He's got that high-end talent, and he's ready to explode. I think it's going to happen tonight.
Rhea, where would you go with this one?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Oubre, too. Because I would like it to be Tobias, because if Tobias has another game like he had the other, I think that they win fairly easily if they get this, you know, production out of what they get out of Embiid and Maxey, but... Yeah, Oubre I have more faith in.
So I'm going to go, and this might be off kilter because this guy was probably the worst of these four the other day. I'm going to go Kyle Lowry.
He had 0 points.
Yeah, and that's why. There's two things about Lowry the other day that I like for tonight. One, that he played bad. Two, that he did not play much down the stretch. Now, it's not like he didn't play, you know, anything in that game. I think he was in the 20s or something. But the reality is, this wasn't a game the other day because he played so bad. It wasn't one of those games where he plays 35 or 40 minutes. So I'm hoping that you get the pride of an athlete who's had a great career, who played a bad game, that spurs him, and also a little bit of extra energy because he did not play as much the other day as he typically does. So I would go Lowry tonight. James, where would you go?
I would go Lowry every night with that group. You know what I mean? I just, in a big spot, I just trust him the most of those people. But look, Toby was really good in last game, man. And to Rhea's point, maybe that buoys him a little bit. Maybe coming off, his first not horrendous performance in the playoffs, maybe he's a little more confident.
So here's the irony. If we flip this question around, who do you trust the least for tonight? My answer would be Tobias Harris.
I think he'd win the poll.
Yeah.
I think if we had put it that way, I think he would win that poll.
John, who would you vote for that? Who do you trust the least between Batum, Tobias, Lowry, and Oubre?
Jeez. Yeah, Toby. He's given us reason to doubt.
He has quite a bit.
But to be fair, I mean, Batum has done nothing in this series for the most part.
Well,
he's hit a couple threes here and there.
Right.
He made that nice block, but he has really he had the big Heat game, but since then he has been super quiet. I might vote Batum on that for who I trust the least.
I'll say this: I somewhat agree to that, but he is playing defense out there. I think he's a pretty good defender. He's also supposed to not be as good as the other. He's the one guy these four that doesn't start.
Yeah, and he's 35. Yeah.
Is that all he is?
Yes.
Yeah, he's 35.
Man,
yeah.
He's an old-looking 35.
I know he is. I know he is.
Or is Kyle Lowry a young-looking 38?
Well, that both can be true.
I think he's a young 38.
They both
do.
They
both can be true. Right, let's go to Ed in Phoenixville. Hi, Ed. Ed. All right, Ed not there. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Alex right now. Alex, good morning, buddy.
Hey, gentlemen, what's going on?
Anyway, what's up, Big Pimpin?
Hey, I'll take that. I know everybody's all rah-rah with the Sixers, but I'm kind of over with them. I just am. I mean,
they're over.
I'm over with them. I just have no faith in Embiid at all. I just don't. I mean, it's the same thing. They get us all hyped up. Maybe they can do it, and then they just let you down too often.
Alex, let me ask you a question. What if the Sixers win this? I'm just curious, because I think a lot of people are thinking the way Alex is right now. Not more than 50%, but that's out there. Alex, if they win this series, would you climb on board starting the next series?
No, actually, okay. No.
All right.
Because because they're not good. They barely squeaking by this series. Embiid is barely hanging on with the fatigue and everything else.
That's right.
Why would I have faith that he's
going
to
get in better shape?
Another series?
But he might
Alex,
not.
Because he could
By doing
get
more, he's going to be in better shape because he can barely make it now.
Yeah, he could get fitter as he plays. Playing basketball is the only thing that seems to get Joel Embiid in shape. And so he's playing it now. That's why he's in better shape in game five than he was in game one. I think that would continue.
I tell you this, I would have more faith in this team if Embiid wasn't there and Maxey was the guy and they built a team around Maxey and gave him some help. I would have more faith in this team being able to push harder through with that scenario than to have Embiid on there, because I think Embiid is just like an anchor that's dragging this team down because we put
Alex, it's too much
hope in what he can do, and he's never going to pull it off. He's just never going
to
do it.
It's fair to say that based on what he's given us, what he's shown us. Yeah.
Alex, give me an answer for a fictional rivalry. What do you have here?
Harry Potter, Voldemort, and Harry Potter.
You got it, man.
It feels like above a rivalry.
What is that instead?
It's just like a good guy and a villain.
That's like a light.
Yeah, like it's like to the death, you know?
To the death.
You know, right.
And you wouldn't call it a rivalry?
No, is rivalry to the death usually? I mean, it can be, I guess.
It can be.
They're
it can be
intrinsically, cosmically bound to one another forever.
Okay. Yeah. I've never thought of his rival.
Right,
say with Harry, Draco is more his rival.
Let me ask an Embiid question here. I'm doing this off the top of my head. And maybe Barry Bonds is the answer for the first bunch of years. Has there ever been a player better in the regular season and worse in the postseason than Joel Embiid? And I'm going through all sports history.
Trout has only played in the playoffs a little bit.
Doesn't count.
Okay.
Who's
the pitcher? Is it
Clayton Kershaw?
Yes. That's the best answer. Yeah.
That's a great answer.
It's Kershaw.
It is Kershaw.
It has to be him, yeah.
And the first, James, I'd say the first half of Bond's career, before he cranked it up.
Until the World Series run. Yeah.
because he was a disaster with the three Pittsburgh teams that made it, some Giants teams that made it. Like, he was,
and then he was otherworldly.
That he was otherworldly.
Yeah. Peyton Manning.
Football Peyton Manning's a pretty good answer, which is ironic because he ended up winning two championships.
He did, but even when he won them, he played poorly.
He wasn't both, the best one there, and they gave him an MVP in one of them.
He lost the Jets playoff game like 41-0 or something.
And blamed his offensive line.
Did he?
There was one of the playoff losses. He threw his offensive line right under the bus. Wow. I remember it vividly.
Wow. He also lost the playoff game where the kicker missed a kick, and he called the kicker an idiot kicker.
Oh, the idiot
Vanderjack,
kicker.
Yes. I think.
Yes.
And he lost the playoff game to the Patriots where they lost 21-3, and his receivers were getting mugged, and he couldn't do anything about it. I think that was the same weekend.
Wow.
I think that was the same weekend that Ricky Manning Jr. mugged Todd Pinkston.
Oh, God.
I think it was the same weekend, 03. And that's why.
I don't think it was 03.
Yeah, because I think that's when the rules changed. I believe the rules changed because the Panthers were mugging the Eagles receivers and the Colts were mugging the Patriots receivers. Other way around.
How about when the Braves had the long stretch where they only won the one World Series?
So Maddux, to an extent, he would be the prime guy on that. He had his moments in the postseason, but he was nowhere near as dominant
because
in the
they called it different. On him. I mean, he was not getting the calls that he normally got in the regular.
I think it's also the velocity wins in October most of the time, historically.
That's true.
That's interesting. All right. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Jeremy right now. Jeremy, good morning, pal.
Good morning. Sorry about not catching you the first time around. I'm driving a tractor down the road right now.
Well, hold on. We got. I don't accept your apology. Instead, I say this.
Where did he get the effrontery?
Where do you, Jeremy? Wait, am I supposed to just accept your apology because you throw it out there?
How big is the tractor? Is it a giant tractor?
It's a full-size New Holland. I'm between Greg and baseball fields right now.
That's awesome.
How rude.
All right. Hello, Jeremy. We accept your apology. All right, hello.
Good morning. So I had a couple of thoughts on the Eagles. The first thought is that with the Nick Wright thought, I mean, this guy just has never made any sense to me. Howie is not overrated. You take more shots, you could have the opportunity to miss more shots, but there's no reward without risk. I mean, he's an aggressive GM, and it's worked out in the Eagles' favor.
Well, let me be clear here because we didn't play all the parts of Nick Wright. Also had a lot of praise for Howie overall as a GM, and specifically for his maneuvering where he gets the Eagles additional picks. I mean, that he was very clear on. But he thinks that his literal drafting, the actual picking of the players, how he's overrated. And I think if anyone thinks he's great at that, I think Nick Wright's right about that. He's not great at that.
I don't think he's great at it, but I think that's also probably the hardest part of being a GM.
Probably the hardest part.
Trying to hit on these picks. Like it's
and you've got a building full of people that are all working on the draft. And yes, I know he's got the last decision, the ultimate choice, but man, it's a group concept, a group project. It is a crapshoot. Everyone misses, and I feel good about where we stand in terms of our percentage.
And he's got the pressure of one of the most passionate fan bases on his back.
That's right.
He's got to try
I think we pay attention more than a lot of cities do.
Yep, I agree with that. Jeremy, give me an answer here for fictional rivalry.
All these cartoons are getting said, and I don't think anybody has said Tom and Jerry yet.
Oh, wow.
No, you're right.
No.
That might be the best
great
one of them.
That's a big one. So, you know, the last caller there just brought up the idea of pressure. And I was thinking about this last night, and I feel pretty damn confident I have the right group here for the last, I'll call it 40 years in Philadelphia sports. Embiid is one of three athletes with the most pressure on him every year come playoff time. Now, Seltzer, I think you can get this. Give me your guess.
Well,
I have a
Donovan is clear.
Donovan is absolutely. Joel Embiid is in there.
And you have one other?
One other, where it's like every year we would turn our attention to this guy and say, go lead us to the championship.
Lindros?
Absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Good one.
Like you had Ryan Howard and Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins. First off, they won a championship in their second year together. So to a certain extent, pressure was off because they had already accomplished it. I remember talking to Lindros about this one time, and he embraced it. I was like, you know, because one of the things about Lindros to me that was so, I don't know if unusual is the right word, but I'll just say this. He was doing all that at an extremely young age. Now, when I asked him about this one time in a public setting, like his answer, like he was like, I don't even want to hear that. Like meaning like
bring the pressure on. That's my job.
He's one of the most pressure from the moment he got
Correct.
Here ever.
Correct.
That might be the most
but
for,
the crazy
a, for a rookie
thing is,
coming in.
So many of those years, he was like 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. They made the playoffs in his second year. Excuse me, in his third year. So, and then I think he was out of here, I believe, by like the age of 26 or 27. It all happened pretty quick, pretty early. But I just remember Lindros, the whole town, dude, it's on you. Donovan, dude, it's on you. Joel, dude, it's on you. And probably more than, you know, maybe prior to that, maybe you go back to Schmitty. Now, I was
Schmitt
very
before
young.
He won, probably, yeah.
But probably Schmitty, with because he had struggled in the postseason, you know, to an extent before 80, and people were down on that reality. 215-592-9494. I never felt like Iverson was doubted in that regard. And Barkley's teams weren't good enough for him to truly be seen as that guy because it was so obvious.
There was no expectation there.
The expectations were lower. And it's like, how do you get on Charles's case when he loses to Jordan 2 years in a row? Like, how do you, nothing you can
I
say
remember
about
when
that.
They won a game against
Game
the
three.
Yeah.
Game three when Hersey Hawkins hit the shot.
And it was like they had won the championship.
That's right. He hit a corner three-pointer to win it, and yep. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.